The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 9, Killers, Part 1.
So malaria is still a very big problem in the world. Hundreds of millions of people are affected by malaria. And although some progress has been made at trying to control malaria, especially in Africa, a lot of people are concerned now that it's going to become much harder to make that progress, or some of that progress might become reversed, because as we do more and more to try and control malaria, the parasites are changing, the mosquitoes are changing, they're adapting to the insecticides that we use to control mosquitoes, for example. We need to do more to try and overcome these challenges. My name's Alistair Miles. I'm a researcher in the Wellcome Trust Centre for Human Genetics in the University of Oxford. So we study malaria, and in particular what we are trying to do is to use data about the genetic differences between malaria parasites or the mosquitoes that transmit malaria to ultimately provide information that would be useful for people who are trying to control malaria. The area that I work in particular is studying the mosquitoes. The mosquito is what transmits malaria. It carries the malaria parasites from one person to another. And understanding what's happening in mosquito populations is particularly important, because if you want to control malaria, you have to try and prevent the transmission of malaria from one person to another. The way in which the parasites have become adapted to invade the mosquito and then go through the mosquito systems and then invade the human host is very complicated. And there's many parts of that whole process that we don't understand. And we know, for example, that some mosquitoes are more susceptible to transmitting parasites than others are. So that is an example of ways in which differences between mosquitoes is relevant to the transmission of malaria. More generally speaking, what I'm interested in is the mosquito populations themselves and how we might learn more about the mosquito populations, which would help us then control the mosquitoes themselves. So the main ways that we have of controlling mosquitoes right now are either people go into houses and spray the houses with insecticides and that kills all the mosquitoes in the house, or we encourage people to sleep under bed nets that have been treated with insecticides. But both of those rely firstly on mosquitoes going into people's houses at night and feeding on them when they're asleep, and also relies on them being susceptible to those insecticides. And insecticide resistance is emerging very quickly and it's spreading very quickly across Africa. So that's a very big threat to the best methods that we have for controlling malaria right now. Also, mosquitoes are changing their behavior. So they're feeding earlier in the day. They're also choosing to feed outdoors rather than indoors. So you don't have the ability to control them in the same way that you did. So these problems are a reflection of the way in which the mosquito populations are changing. And we would just like to learn more about what is going on in mosquito populations. Clearly they are changing very quickly in response to human populations, human interventions. We'd like to understand that process and we'd like to track those changes so we can help to inform people who are out there in the field trying to respond. The main thing we do is really simple. So we just collect lots of mosquitoes from the field. We work as part of a large collaboration, which also involves 14 other institutions, and members of the collaboration have collected thousands of mosquitoes from across Africa, from different locations across Africa, and in the field, or they take those mosquitoes back to their lab, they then extract DNA from those mosquitoes. That gets sent for sequencing to the Sanger Institute near Cambridge. We then analyze those data, and in very simple terms, what we do is we take the DNA sequence that we get from each individual mosquito and we compare the sequences between each of the different mosquitoes to see what's different. Why is one mosquito different from another? It sounds simple, but there's a lot you can learn just from studying genetic differences between mosquitoes, especially when you have mosquitoes from lots of different places around Africa, which might have different local conditions or have different histories of insecticide use, for example. So if one area has experienced very strong insecticide use or has had very high coverage of bed nets, for example, there would have been a very strong pressure on that mosquito population to evolve, to adapt, and to increase in their ability to resist the insecticide. So we would expect those changes to be visible in the DNA sequences that we get. We might hope to discover some of the genetic changes which are causing insecticide resistance. That might help us learn a bit more about the mechanisms underlying resistance. It also might give us sort of like tracking beacons, if you like, ways of tracking insecticide resistance, because it intends to emerge in one place and then spread very quickly to other places. And that spread is something that we're very interested in and would like to monitor, so that we can tell people if it's coming in from one place or it's emerged locally or what's happening.
Working with mosquito genomic data does provide particular challenges.
Mosquitoes don't tend to form very well-defined species like mammals do. You know, species is a pretty clear concept in mammals. Humans are humans, cats are cats, dogs are dogs. But mosquitoes are much less fussy, and so we study a mosquito species called Anopheles gambi, but actually it's not just one species, it's a what we call a complex of species. But they're not completely separate from each other. So although they're partly separate and they tend not to mate with each other in general, in some places they do mate with each other. We're not quite sure why. And so actually there's a number of species which are all very closely related, with genes flowing between them all. At one level, what we're doing is generating an awful lot of data. So the DNA sequences from each mosquito, there's a lot of data from that, and then all the data on genetic differences. And that has lots and lots of potential applications, and it's relevant to a lot of people. So we generate those data and we publish those data open access. We encourage many people, researchers involved in all sorts of areas of research, to use the data. And we hope that if we learn something about genetic changes that are underpinning insecticide resistance, that people who are working on new insecticides might be able to learn something, develop better insecticides. But also, we would just like to be able to generate intelligence for people who are making decisions about what to do in the field, about whether to use a particular insecticide in a particular location, whether to distribute bed nets in one location, you know, things like that. People who are planning malaria control interventions, who need to know things about what's going on in an insect mosquito population on the ground. We hope to provide a foundation that gives them the knowledge that they need to make good decisions about how to effectively manage a control program. And that might just mean manage the insecticides they use in a way that means that resistance emerges more slowly, or that it just the program is more effective. The reality is that we have a number of classes of insecticides, and some of them are still effective, but in many parts of Africa now there are mosquitoes that are resistant to several, if not all, of those classes. And those genetic changes that are underpinning that resistance, we know what a lot of them are already, and we can see them moving very quickly across Africa, for example. So we know that things are changing very fast in Africa, and it, you know, it's not impossible that in a few years' time we might have many parts of Africa where mosquitoes are resistant to all the insecticide classes that we currently have available. So and people are working on new insecticide development, but it's going to be some time before new tools are available, so we do have to manage things carefully. What I'm learning is that basically, because the DNA sequence of an individual is handed down from generation to generation, each generation you get new mutations, they're passed on. But also mosquitoes like us, they go through sexual reproduction, so you get this process of reshuffling of genomes as well. And as that all happens, all of that information about who's mating with who, where they've come from, how big populations were, how small populations were, where they were moving, whether they were under strong pressures or weak pressures, that all gets captured, and that information is all present in the DNA sequences that you have today. So it's almost like they're a living record of what each population has been going through over the past, up to tens, hundreds of thousands of years. You can start to deduce information about what has been going on in populations. It could be that this effect that we see in the genetic data of very, very small population size recently is a result of what's been happening in terms of malaria control. And if it was, that would be great, because it would prove that, you know, using these data, we can give you feedback, we can give you sort of some intelligence on what the impact of a malaria control intervention was. But we can't prove that link at the moment, and there's other factors that might be at play. For example, this could just be a population where conditions have been extremely dry for a number of years, so it's a marginal population, and that's just its nature. all those types of information can be gleaned from the data that we have. We hope it will provide a foundation for lots of things, and we hope it will provide a foundation for monitoring and carrying out surveillance of the mosquito population. So at the moment we've just sequenced nearly 1,000 genomes from 9 countries across Africa, but what we really need to do is we need to be regularly sequencing thousands, tens of thousands of mosquitoes from everywhere that we can within Africa, doing it several times every year and building up a sort of record of mosquito populations over time. And that is the plan. So we're hoping that over the next 5 years we will be able to sequence tens of thousands of mosquitoes and do it in a very systematic way, particularly across Africa. We will be able to watch these changes happening year on year, and we'll be able to see exactly where populations are changing very quickly, where they're unstable, where they're stable, where populations are mixing, where they're not mixing, where malaria control is having a big effect, where it's not having an effect, where insecticide resistance is moving, where it's not moving. So we'd hope to be able to see all of those things, and all of that we'd hope ultimately will be useful information that people can apply when they're trying to make decisions. And that's the dream. I mean, we have a lot of work to do to bridge that gap. We can see that it is going to be very relevant to research, and so our sort of current priority is to make the data available to other researchers. The big challenge that we want to try and tackle with the community is how to bridge the gap between the data that we can collect, and we have the ability to collect, and we've proven can show you interesting things about what's happening inside mosquito populations year on year, how we can bridge the gap between those data, which are very complicated, hard to understand, hard to analyze, hard to interpret, and people who are making decisions about what are we going to do next year, how many bed nets are we going to distribute, where are we going to focus our resources. This is just one part of the problem. The malaria problem is a big problem. There are many other people who are working on other aspects of the problem, all of which come together. And so that integration of genomic information, of people who are collecting ecological data in the field, people who are modeling malaria and building mathematical models, for example, all of that needs to somehow be integrated in a way that can be digested and applied. And I think it's clearly possible, very clearly possible. We just need to work hard.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Lou Sumner, and produced by Steve Pritchard for the University of Oxford. To find out more about the University of Oxford's fascinating science, follow us on Twitter at Oxford Sparks, via our Facebook page, or visit the website www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.